creeping up on 5:11 here on News Radio 830 WCCO. So, are we going to have another nurses' strike? We have the 24-hour strike, and we saw that, well, the hospitals were able to sort of keep it together. There weren't any major emergencies or issues that came out of that strike. Of course, they'd love to avoid another one, and the next one, if voted on by the nurses, could be an indefinite one. And it is the leverage they hold over the hospitals in this disagreement. For more on what this disagreement actually is, let's go to Cindy Olson. She's our guest now, a nurse at St. John's Hospital in Maplewood. Cindy, I appreciate the time. If you were telling someone for the very first time they didn't know about this issue, what's going on between the nurses and the hospitals, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that I've worked as a nurse for 32 years, and especially over the last 5 or 6 years, I've seen budget cuts in hospitals that are affecting the patients I care for. And sometimes it is actually dangerous for that patient not to have enough staff on when they're a patient in that hospital. The other issue is, you know, I hear a lot that California has standards. Well, I don't care about California standards. That's a starting point for me. I'm looking for Minnesota standards. I want my hospital to sit down and talk to me about what works for them and me, and they're not willing to do that.
Well, when you say they're not willing to do that, Cindy, hasn't the union and the hospitals been talking?
Well, I would call it lip service. I would say we sit and we explain things, but we never talk. You know, you put a proposal on the table, and you expect them to come up with a counterproposal so that you have something to talk about. When we left our last meeting from the mediator, we were told there was not one period, sentence, word, or comma that they could talk about in our proposal. So, and they left.
So, in other words, they saw your proposal, balked, and said, there's nothing here for us to address. We're done?
That's right.
When was that, Cindy?
That was before we did our one-day strike.
Okay. Well, what's happened since the one-day strike? You've gone back to work, and haven't there been additional talks?
No.
Nothing?
We did say that we would talk. They came and said, well, we don't want to talk. We won't talk unless you agree not to take a vote or agree to a no-strike lockout until July 31st. And it's like, now why? If you haven't talked to me for 3 months, am I going to wait another 6 weeks?
It is, again, we're talking with Cindy Olson. She's a nurse at St. John's Hospital in Maplewood. Is the staffing the biggest? You're talking about changes that have been made over the last 5 years or so in hospitals that have made things dangerous for patients.
And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying every day, but I'm saying that I see when corporations, big corporations that made over $750 million last year, have final say in budget cuts, that it is affecting bedside nursing every day more and more. And that's what we need, some control over our practice and how we deliver our care.
What about the, you know, there are a lot of people, Cindy, who think that the nurses are purely just striking over money. And what would you say to those folks?
I would say finances are the last thing you talk about in a contract. If you have a nurse that's willing to go out on a no-ended strike for her patients, she's putting her job on the line for her patients, her profession, and herself. We do not get paid for striking.
What is your sense, Cindy, of what the vote is going like today and whether or not we can expect another strike?
Well, I would hope to say, I know the vote is going well from the people I've talked to, and I would hope it would be well enough that the hospitals would say, we need to meet and negotiate. We understand how important this is to you. And really, you know, it's important to us, too, because I haven't heard that from them yet.
You haven't heard that it's important to them.
Otherwise, they'd talk about it, wouldn't they?
Well, you know, we're trying to get both sides of this. And again, there seems to be a sense that from your side of it, it's purely about patient safety. And I guess I would counter with, how does a strike really help patient safety?
Well, if I continue to see budget cuts hit my patients at the bedside and it gets worse, I'm not really protecting my patients, am I?
What are the budget cuts at the bedside that affect patients?
Nurses start out with a full load of patients, 5 or 6, depending upon the shift, the unit, and that type of thing. And when patients come in through the ER, it's like you can take one more. You can take another. You can only take so much. That becomes unsafe.
To have too many patients.
Absolutely. Would you want a nurse that's overloaded taking care of you in a hospital?
No, no. And I must tell you, I've never had that experience. Maybe I'm just lucky, but I've had just excellent nurses every time that I've had to be in a hospital or my child's had to be in a hospital.
You know, I love my job. I love my patients and I love my families. And I do. I've been doing it for a long time, but it's important to me. And I just can't continue to see what's happening. You know, it'd be nice to sit down with them and talk about something that works for both of us. We don't have to follow the California standards. That's just a starting point. We need to make Minnesota standards.
And you're, again, you're talking strictly about the level of staffing in terms of the number of nurses on at any particular shift.
And it could have, you know, acuity plays into that also. Not just number of patients. There's a lot. Some patients are a lot less sick than other patients.
Sure.
So there's multiple aspects, but it's like we really need to work this out. This is, I mean, they're there to take care of patients too. That's how they make their money.
Okay. So, and you don't think it's in their best interest to have good patient care?
It's in their best interest to have good patient care.
Well, then why? Well, then how would you say they know that's in their best interest, and then why would what they're doing, if they think that they're really endangering their patients, do you think they do what they're doing?
You know, they don't do the bedside care. I do the bedside care.
Okay.
They sit up in an office. They don't come around and follow me around down a unit to see how my job is or how I work. We have nurses that fill out unsafe staffing reports every day that we meet within a group, a committee in the hospital to try to fix, but we're not getting anywhere with those. So we've tried to take it to the government. We've tried to pass it in the legislature for over a year, and we haven't gotten – they told us to take it to our table, so that's what we've done.
Cindy Olson, a nurse at St. John's Hospital in Maplewood, appreciate the time very, very much. We're going to hear from Maureen Schreiner, a spokesman for the Twin Cities Hospital, in a moment. But Cindy, we appreciate your time today. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's the nurses' side of things. We're going to get the hospital sides of things next, and we'll follow that up with your calls on this. Well, we've got a bunch of texts here regarding the nurses' strike. And, again, they are voting today on whether or not to strike again. We had the 24-hour strike. I'll read a few texts here. Nurses equal overpaid and underworked. That's from Beef in Canby. I'm trying to understand why the nurses believe that they should set the standards. It doesn't work that way in business. The employer sets the standards. The bed count was down enough. They shut down wards. I did security. The nurses were not that busy. This was Health East at Johns and Woodwinds. That's from Dan. And one more says, it makes no sense. What are these nurses actually asking for, more nurses being hired or the current nurses being paid more? Well, let's ask Maureen Schreiner. She is the spokesperson for the Twin Cities Hospital. And, Maureen, we appreciate the time. We just had a nurse on, Cindy Olson, who is a nurse at St. John's Hospital in Maplewood. And her contention is that there really has been no further discussion between the hospitals and the nurses since the strike. What do you say to that?
Yeah, we have not had contract talks since the June 10th strike. And just to kind of set the scene for the listeners here about where we are, the Twin Cities hospitals really have among the top quality care in the country. As a matter of fact, just today, happy to announce, Thomson Reuters sends out its top 100 list of hospitals in the country, right? Top 100 in the country. We have hospitals here. Fairview has a hospital. Alina has a hospital. These are the top 100 in the country. So you know what happens? The benefit for the consumers here is when you have one top 100 hospital in the community, everybody else has to, you know, step up and meet the competition or they shut down. So we have excellent hospitals here. Another thing where we lead in the nation is the pay to our nurses. The average payroll is $38 an hour. So that's the average. And if you work full-time, you earn $79,000 a year. Now, the union has responded back, well, most of our nurses don't work part-time, or they work part-time. And that's true. 80 to 85% of our nurses work part-time. And one of the reasons they're able to do that is because we pay benefits for nurses who work as few as 16 hours a week. So you can work 16 hours a week and get full-time benefits. The hospitals are asking, well, we think that should be 20 hours a week. That's what everyone else at our hospital does. They don't get benefits until you work 20 hours a week. So that's, you know, this strike is really, you know, this is where we have to sort of understand this. The request the union is coming in with is this California model. There's no other state in the country that has this. It's a state law in California. It says for every one nurse, you can only have this many patients. It's set in a law. But the devil is in the details, right?
Yeah.
And it's when you start getting into the details of it and you actually see how this works and you look at the studies from California that it says, well, actually, it's cost us millions of dollars and we haven't seen improvements in patient quality of care. So the Twin Cities hospitals, we look at this and say, you know, if you're going to spend millions and millions of dollars, wouldn't you want to be pretty sure of what you're doing here? And there's no proof. I mean, even the Star Tribune wrote an editorial that said, you know, do the nurses realize they're going to the mat for an unproven strategy? So now, we do have encouragement. The union last week did say, you know, we're willing to delete, drop, or modify any proposals. So the hospital said, okay, so let's meet and negotiate. But what we want to be able to do is meet and negotiate without, you know, the threat of a strike through July 31st. And then the hospitals agreed to a no lockout through July 31st.
Okay.
And the union said no. So I need to explain, you know, well, why would the hospitals be asking for that? It's kind of like, you know, if you're sitting in a room with someone, let's say, you know, we're having a conversation in a room and a drummer comes in and this drummer is banging and banging this drum and you can't hear anything, right? You can't have a conversation. So that's essentially the position we're in is we're asking the union to move the drummer outside of the room. We need to have a conversation here that's focused on getting a contract.
So, in other words, get the strike thing out of the picture for a while.
Yeah.
So July 31st, and
right.
We can talk without
the drummer hanging
over us like a drummer. Okay, Maureen Schreiner is the spokesperson for the Twin Cities Hospitals. So the fact that these nurses continue to say this is about patient care, it's about patient care, is that a talking point in your estimation from them, or is this really about money?
Well, one of the things that we want to recognize is has the role of the registered nurse at the hospital changed? And in the last 10 or 15 years, has it changed? Yes. I mean, we are, you know, really, you know, bringing in, there's new technology, there's electronic medical records. You know, our nurses have to, you know, they have to learn more. They do have to, you know, do more on their job. But, you know, when you look at any job in our hospitals right now, and actually, I mean, I think for anyone listening, you know, is the work harder to do? Does it involve, you know, more, you know, intensity of your effort? You know, that's true. You know, I mean, we are asking more from our nurses. That's one of the reasons why we're compensating them well.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the union has come back and said, well, okay, so we want 4% raises per year over the next 3 years. Well, no one's getting 4% raises. I mean, I know people who are taking pay cuts.
Right.
So what we're asking for is 0, 1%, and 2% over 3 years. That's actually what everyone else in our hospitals has taken.
Everyone else is taking that in the hospitals outside of the nurses. We're talking with Maureen Schreiner, spokesperson for the Twin Cities Hospital. Last thing I want to get to, Maureen, is that they also, the nurses on their side, they come forward and they say, look, these hospitals are profiting like $750 million. They're making all this money. Why can't they pay us?
Yeah, and that's where you have to understand, first of all, our hospitals, all of them, we're nonprofit. We're required by law to be nonprofit. We're also required to operate in the black. So in 2008, we did have a year where we weren't able to operate in the black. We dipped down into the red. And so now the key is we have to have our revenues, so our patient revenues, have to be more than our operating expenses. And actually the only way in for a number of years that we've been able to cover our expenses is using investment income. Well, you know how the volatility of the stock market is, we can't depend on investment income for ongoing operating expenses. So we use that for one-time expenses, you know, so facility upgrades, technology upgrades. It's just kind of like a household budget when you're planning your budget. Let's say that you're going to get a tax refund and you say, great, you know, I can get new furniture for the living room. But you don't go out and buy a bigger house and have a higher mortgage payment because you can't afford. I mean, that doesn't work with your budget. And so our operating margin, which is how much revenue we're getting above what our patient, I mean, how much our expenses are compared to our revenues, it's been slim margins. And with the expenses we're seeing coming down the road with the federal healthcare reform, that's adding to our costs. The state legislators' changes, that's adding to our costs. So we need to manage the larger picture of this. And go back to this point of where are we starting from? some of the best quality of hospital care you can get in the country. That's where we're starting from. So we want to move forward. And what the union continues, if you look at the union's list of proposals, you know, what we're really seeing is it's a union that says, well, we don't like change. We're going to fight change. You know, we can't be changing like this. And, you know, the hospitals are saying, we don't have a choice. We do have to change. It's not whether we're going to change. It's how.
Maureen.
So, you know, work with us.
You know, thank you for this, Maureen. We really appreciate your time. And
sure.
I'm going to, really quick, I have about 30 seconds. Someone is texting in to ask you where you live full time. I'm not sure how this is relevant. They're asking if you're from here, and I'm not sure if that really matters.
I live in Minnesota, and as a matter of fact, just recently, I had the same experience as you, Michelle. I had to be in a hospital in a situation, not a personal situation, but excellent quality of care. The nurses couldn't have been greater. I was so grateful for it. It was wonderful.
Maureen, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much. We're going to open this up to phone calls next. 651-989-9226. 866-989-9226. What do you think? What do you think? Are you on the nurse's side, the hospital side? Where do you stand on this? We're getting a million texts. I'll read them to you and we'll get your calls next on CCO. Okay. Texts. Here's one that just came in. Michelle, how much would you want to be paid to clean up the soiled, demented man or to hold the hair back of the nauseated surgical patient as she is vomiting? I think nurses basically are saints. I love nurses. And how much do you want to be paid? Well, that's for the nurses to determine. You get to decide at what am I willing to work for. At what amount is this worth it to me and what amount isn't it? Let's go to Linda on a cell phone. Linda, you are on with Michelle Tafoya. What do you say?
I was wondering, first of all, did your last guest not say that nurses earn $30 an hour?
$38 per hour.
$38. Okay, that was my first contention I was going to have. I'm not a nurse and I'm not being paid off by one either. But I favor them simply because my experience has been that if you are in a hospital situation, and maybe you even agree with this, the nurse that you get on any particular shift makes all the difference. I mean, the nurses are completely key. But I have had to watch my mother dying, waiting for a nurse to call, I mean, and never have the chance to respond because they have so many patients on the unit. So I have experienced that over and over with my family in hospitals. Great nurses, just not enough of them.
Linda, that's interesting. I know that there have been anecdotes like yours, and I certainly don't think you're being paid off by the nurses. I'm sure that's your experience. And, you know, and the question is then, yes, if that's happening again and again, what to do? And if it's increased staffing, well, apparently the hospitals don't think the California model works. We're going to find out, I guess. Well, and we might not. But Kristen, you are on with Michelle. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, I just had a couple of statements that I wanted to say that, you know, they said that they're the top hospitals. Well, the nurses make them the top hospitals. We keep it going.
Sure. Are you a nurse, Kristen?
I am. I am a nurse at St. John's.
Yeah, the nurses and the doctors and the administrators and the equipment and the rooms. I mean, it's everyone.
It is a collaborative. But we are the eyes and the ears to help keep everything going for them, and we help them make it.
Yeah, Kristen, I love nurses. I'm telling you, there have been a number of times where I've been in the hospital or my child has, and the nurses have made all the difference in the world. I guess my question is, when does it become you're getting enough? Is this, Kristen, to you, is this about staffing or money?
Oh, definitely staffing. I never went into nursing for the money. I don't know a lot of people, a lot of my colleagues that ever went into nursing for the money. It's what we do. It's what we love to do. It's some of us is what we were called to do.
So this has to do with staffing for you.
Absolutely. And currently, right now, even in this crisis of this negotiations, our unit is hiring a new clinical manager as we speak to be another management position on our unit to take space up.
Kristen, did you vote today?
I did.
Can you tell us how? Yeah, what your vote was?
I voted for a fair contract.
Okay.
And to get to that.
Okay. Kristen, thanks for the call and thanks for the directness there. Let's go to Jeff, who's on us. Jeff, I've got a text here that says, I'm a union electrician and I work at one of these hospitals. I do not support the nurses' strike. His name is Tom. Jeff, what do you think?
Well, for me, my sister-in-law is a nurse, and I also know another side of it with the fact that my sister-in-law, she's a floating nurse. And she kind of bounced around to different departments. Thing is, they have experienced nurses within the department to help give her the lead as far as what to do in certain situations. My understanding is that they want to create more floating nurses. By doing that, that also puts more burden on those floating nurses where if they make one mistake, quite frankly, the hospital, they know the hospital is not going to back them and they're going to lose their job. And with my sister-in-law, she points out that the pension, it's nice, but they can live without it. The money really isn't the thing. It comes down to more job security with the fact that they know the hospital is not going to back them if they make a mistake. At the same time, as far as that second person that she had on for the hospital,
yeah,
made the comment that it's a nonprofit. Well, it's kind of interesting that the nonprofit, if they were, their top executives wouldn't be making all the bonuses that they do. They'd be more like Ben and Jerry.
Well, Jeff, thanks for that call. Again, if you create a great hospital and your whole job is to oversee an entire hospital. I mean, we talk about bonuses. Look, bonuses are part of contracts too. So it's very easy to point at bonuses and say so-and-so is making a ton of money and he shouldn't be, instead it should be spread around. Well, look, some of these people making these bonuses are maybe perhaps even taking more risk or working longer hours. I don't know this. What I'm saying is bonuses are written in, and someone who can produce a great hospital and has very select managerial business administrative skills in that field to create a great hospital and oversee a great hospital has the right to say, I'd like some bonuses worked into my deal. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Baseball players do it. Let's go to Chuck. Hi, Chuck. You're on with Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good.
Good. Say, my comment is most of the listeners out there right now have been seriously affected in some way, shape, or form with cutbacks, be it the construction industry, manufacturing industry, or really service industries. Everybody's had to become more productive. We're in a global economy. Hours have been cut back in many cases, wages have been cut back, and we continue to hear more and more pressure on health care costs and everything. And I mean, I respect the nurses, they do a great job, but at some point in time, we all have to participate in this thing. Everybody has to change, everybody has to become more efficient. And I think that, to that extent, the nurses are going to have to try and become more efficient in much the same way. They say they do a great job and everything, but we can't have our cake and eat it too. We can't have lower health care costs and everything else that we want.
Chuck, thanks for the phone call. It's all about adapting. There's no question about that. And again, I think that if patients' safety is on the line, I would think that the people most concerned about that are the hospitals. Maybe that's just me. More of your calls and texts in a minute. Talking about the nurses' union and the strike vote today. Here's a text. To say you want nurses to adapt and be more efficient because of the economy is pure ignorance. You're talking about people's lives, for heaven's sakes. Another text, hospitals say it's about money, nurses say it's not, one of the two isn't being honest about it. And we have a text here that says, it is unethical for nurses, MDs, police, firemen to strike, and I am a doctor. Let's head back to the phones, and let's see, we'll start with Susie. Hi, Susie, you are on with Michelle. What do you think, Susie?
Hey, Michelle, I've been a full-time nurse since 1986. I do not work at a contract hospital, so I'm not voting. I support nurses' staffing issues. I do not agree with the California model because I think there are times when you can do more with less and less with more. The strike is not about what nurses are getting paid. It is about providing good care, feeling good about what you do, and feeling safe about what you do. The difference in me construction person, a service worker, or a business career is that I have my license on the line and I have a life on the line. If I don't get a project turned in on time, It's not like being a business person. I am a nurse. I need to be with my patients when they need me. As a nurse in these 26 years or however long I've worked, I feel like I've been correctly staffed probably about 30% of the time. There is not enough of me to go around. I can't safely provide care. And hospitals continue to spend money on new buildings, new hospitals. If you look at the campuses at Fairview, the campuses at United, the new children's hospital that the university is building, it is not necessary. There is duplication of service all over the metropolitan area, and they need to quit spending that money.
Susie, well said. Very well put together. I got to run. I have a feeling we'll be talking about this again tomorrow when we know the results of this vote. So keep it here at News Radio 830 WCCO. Oh, let's hope some good comes out of all this, right? We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, do good, Minnesota.